welcome to Call Kira About Aging. We have a jam-packed program for you today. You know, we choose a topic every month. We do shows about the topic every week. December, the topic is everything you wanted to know about computers and technology, but were embarrassed to ask. If you have questions, just like I do, you can write down our phone number so you can call us in the studio today at 707-332-6833. If you're listening to Call Kira About Aging, we're going to talk about computer basics today. It's really important for people to stay in touch with other people as they age. I don't want people getting bored, especially if they live by themselves or feeling isolated. And frankly, a computer is a really good bridge to the outside world. So if you don't own a computer, or you own one but you don't use one, this would be a great show to listen to. If your parents are afraid to use the computer, gather them around the radio right now. We're going to start at the beginning and go slowly and basically lay a foundation for the rest of the month. I just want to break it down in simple pieces. And today I'm lucky to have in studio with me Angela Schmidt, and she's an independent computer consultant. She's used to talking with older adults and teaching them. And David Casuto, who is founder and executive director of Senior Surf, which is a nonprofit computer education organization that specializes in working with older adults in the Bay Area. Dave, are you there?
I am here.
Great.
Here.
Angela, thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
So, Dave, talk about the demand that's going on right now for computers for seniors.
Well, since we've started the company about probably 8 years ago now, the demand has really steadily increased. It's been just fascinating. And not only has it increased, it's just interesting to see the sort of trends that have sort of come and gone and sort of, you know, gone in just different directions in terms of what people are interested in and kind of what they want to focus on. But the demand is as high as ever, really.
Part of the thing I was thinking about is even though seniors want to learn it, there are some barriers, aren't there, to their learning computers?
Certainly, yes. I mean, there are barriers. Sometimes there are socioeconomical barriers. There might be perceived aptitude barriers, where people might sort of self-impose some barriers that, well, I'm not smart enough, you know, this isn't something I can learn, I can't learn a new thing, that type of thing. There also might be motor skills barriers. People might have, you know, shaky hands and things like that. But there are accessibility features built into the computer, like, let's say, for eyesight, things
yep.
like that. And there's also accessibility things for, you know, different types of mouse. Uses you can have, and also for touch screens and things like that.
So if you're listening and you're feeling like it's beyond you, I want you to stay tuned because we're going to break down that barrier. I was thinking that we call this the digital divide. Do you want to expand on that a little bit more for people that have heard that but don't really know what that term means, Dave?
Sure, yeah. The term initially was coined for mostly children and students and kind of the general public. And then once seniors started getting more into the scene, the term silver divide was something that was applied. And the silver divide was basically kind of the things that I was just referring to, where there's this divide between older adults and the rest of the country and the world, in terms of their access to computer technology and their use of computer technology, and having to do with aptitude, with the capacity for it, and access also, because the socioeconomic component is also relevant for many seniors in the United States. So it's all those things, but there is that divide with seniors just as much as there are with younger students as well.
Angela, do you think that the worry is compounded now if people are feeling left behind in this digital divide with what we're calling social media? Do you think that's adding to the angst?
I think a lot of it is adding to the angst. I think they're feeling that they're getting older. And, I mean, even using a cell phone is a problem for some seniors. So when they think about actually tackling a computer, I think it's very very difficult for them, especially a lot of them have kids that help them with it, but they don't really help because they go so quickly and they don't understand, so they get frustrated. So they want to feel, wherever they're going to learn, they want to feel safe. and that they can ask whatever questions that they need without feeling threatened or stupid.
Right. And tell people where you teach or and how you teach.
I teach over at the Rohnert Park Senior Center right now. I also do private tutoring. And the first thing that I always tell my students is that there is no such thing as a stupid question, and it doesn't mm-hmm. matter how much you ask the same question over and over. And I get that a lot. I mean, I will see people, you know, on a weekly basis or a monthly basis, and I go through the same things over and over, but they appreciate the patience, and they feel, you know, they need to feel safe.
Because the adult kids make fun of them
yeah.
and lose patience, don't they?
Exactly, and they go too fast, and they just don't have the patience.
It's also nice not to have it be your kid, because then there's no buttons being pushed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Can you describe, like, a typical student that comes to your class? Is there a typical student?
A typical student, I would say, is, you know, in 70, 80, I even have a 90-year-old, and they primarily want to start out with email. I feel that because they want to be able to keep in contact with their children. I have one woman who has a fairly large family who is all over the world, and she does extensive email work, and again, she needs to go through the same, because she makes categories and, you know, she does some, you know, more advanced stuff, but she needs to go over it over and over again. And she is also on Facebook, keeping track of, and she's the only one, I have to say, she's the only one that's on Facebook. Most, I find, are kind of hesitant.
Yeah, and at the classes that you teach, do you just start at, like, the very beginning?
Yeah, I start at the very basic. Well, it depends. You know, I've taught a word class. I've taught email and internet. And then I've taught a basic computer class for people who are just starting out and who don't really know what a mouse or a keyboard. A lot of people think that the monitor is the actual computer. So, you know, I start at a very basic.
And I want to do that on the show. I want to take it step by step for mm-hmm. people. Dave, do you think, you know, that there's a time when it's beyond a person to take a lesson or learn a computer just as an older adult, per se?
You know, I wouldn't say so. I mean, from my experience, I find that that the cognitive abilities are shaped by attitude and by and the confidence sort of feeds itself. And because I've been working with many of my students for several years now, from the beginning all the way to where they're at now, and I've just seen so much growth. I mean, sometimes it's you know, it's slow and steady, but the evolution just within one person is really astounding. You know, where they start off thinking, well, no, I can't get this, I'll never get this. You know, and they're starting off just exactly what Angela was describing, where, you know, they're just learning how to use a mouse, and they're learning just kind of what the different hardware is, and, you know, all those different basic elements. And then next thing you know, they're doing digital photography, and then they're doing maybe some graphic design. I have many students who are doing websites.
Angela's shaking her head in agreement.
Yeah, I mean, really, I mean, but they're, you know, they started off really thinking that they couldn't do it, but now they're able to do everything they want to do, you know, and all the communication aspects of it, connecting with their family members, going onto Skype, using all these things that they never dreamed of. So I think that, you know, it takes just, you know, persistence and faith in yourself, and you eventually get there.
So really, it's the fear factor we're talking about that people have
sure.
to get over to walk in the door. You're not saying, either of you, that people are unteachable.
Yeah,
right.
They're afraid that they're going to break the machine, basically.
Right.
That they're afraid that to click something because it's going to explode on them or something's going to happen.
Well,
right.
If, I mean, if you guys think back, I was writing, I was thinking I learned WordStar back in 1981, and the guy down the hall said, hey, I got this thing called a computer. I literally used an electric typewriter with carbon paper. My horse is parked outside in the parking lot. And I didn't know what the heck it was. And he said, come check this out. And he says, you hold down this key and push D and it underlines for you or whatever the command was. And I'm like, wow, oh, this is so cool. So I made my boss buy us a computer. It was like $5,000 for the office. But I had the same fears that I was going to break it. And if something wasn't on the screen, it was my fault. I didn't, you know, I needed him right there to hold my hand. So it's really not age related. It's just sort of getting over the fear of something brand new that you don't know how the heck it works.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep, I agree. Yeah, that's really what it is. I mean, you're really the only thing you have to fear is fear itself, and you're really standing in the way of your own progress with that type of block, with that type of fear barrier.
Well, and Angela, you said you've changed the way you teach over the years. Talk about that a little bit. Initially, you had said that you wanted to teach them about megabytes and all the intricacies.
Right. That's what I would do. I would start to explain, you know, the workings of the computer. And then I had one woman in my class. She said, why do I need to know this?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to learn all this. Mm-hmm. I just want to learn how to use it. So I've kind of geared away from you know, the megabytes and the bits and all of that.
Well, that's I was going to share that my mom's in Idaho. We finally got her to take a class, and that's exactly what the teacher did. So if I have any teachers listening, think of what it took for the students to get to your class. A lot of courage. They got over some initial fears, and then you say gigabytes, they don't really need to know that. So my mom said, phooey, and I said, I'll kill that guy. I just wanted to go over there and say, you made my mom not want to go on and learn anymore. And my mom is extremely bright and capable, but it was over her head. So when you are feeling anxious about taking the class, I want you to remember that there are people like Dave Cossutto out there and Angela Smith teaching these classes, and so that you can break through your fear of using technology. Somebody sent me this cute thing on my computer. It says, life before the computer, memory was something you lost with age. A program was a TV show. A cursor used profanity. A keyboard was a piano. A virus was the flu. And a mouse was something the cat chased. So, you know, we have all these exact same words, and we're using them in a whole new way, and it's intimidating. So it's like learning a little bit of a new language, but it sounds like both of you guys are really patient and take it from the absolute beginning. Do you remember, Dave, when you were learning to use the computer, something you were afraid of?
Well, I remember I had gone on a long trip. This was back in the mid-90s, and I came back from this long trip. I'd gone traveling for about a year and a half, and I thought that the entire world was connected, and I thought that everybody was you know, just leaps and bounds ahead of me, and I wished I was going to be completely stuck. So my fear was that everybody was doing all these things and I was missing out. And so I really just, you know, battened down and I took classes, really. And I just really, I mean, that was my biggest fear about that. Just the fact that everybody was doing all these things.
Yeah, you weren't the cool kid, were you?
Left behind. Sorry?
I said you weren't the cool kid. You had to come back and...
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you're listening to Call Kira About Aging. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Here comes the sun. And we're back. You're listening to Call Kira About Aging. I'm in with Angela Smith, who is an independent computer consultant, and Dave Cossutto, who's founder and executive director of SeniorSurf, and he's also a technology instructor at UC Berkeley and SF State. So both of these people teach people who are older adults computers on a regular basis. And before we went to break, Dave was telling us what he was afraid of when he learned. Angela, how was it for you when you were first learning the computer? Do you remember?
Yeah, for me, I started quite late also. I was in my 40s, and I took a class at the local college, and I was, as Dave was saying, I was very nervous because I thought, how am I going to learn all of this? Because people had been in the business for a really long time. And my first class, I remember they were talking about email as a new technology coming out. So I was like right at the beginning of Windows, basically. And you have to take baby steps. You know, you just take little chunks. You have to figure out what you want to learn. If you don't really know what you want to do on the computer, it's very difficult and it can be very frustrating. But if you know what you want to do, you just take that little chunk and learn that, and you can just go step by step. You don't need to learn all of it at once.
Well, that's what we're going to start out doing today. If you don't know any of the terms, that's what we're going to do. So let's just start with the definition of an actual computer and the parts that people would see if they went to a class. Angela, you want to start with that?
Yeah, you would either nowadays, laptops are becoming very popular.
So maybe we should start with that, the difference between
a laptop and a desktop.
Desktop. Okay.
Basically, a desktop is stationary. You can't move it, and you have a tower, which is the CPU, which is the central processing unit, and that is where all of the workings of the computer live. Attached to it, you have what's called peripherals, and the main one would be the monitor, so you can see what's going on inside of your computer, and then you have basically a keyboard and a mouse in order to control it.
All right, so that's already too fast, I bet. I bet we've already lost people, don't you? Because those are all mm-hmm. possibly... So when I think of a desktop, it's like a TV, mm-hmm. a box that sits on top of your desk, and that's where you view your piece of paper rather than putting a piece of paper in, let's say, a typewriter.
Right.
Right? If you have a question, my producer Tony's reminding me you can call us at 636-1350 or 707-332-6833. So that's a desktop. There's something that sits on top of your computer like a that's I mean is that a good way, Dave, do you think, to describe an actual desktop computer?
I think that was a good description.
And some people
and
still own those.
Well, just sort of having the understanding that the keyboard, which is another word for, you know, what you use to type, so they're input and output devices, like, you know, you input information into the computer with the keyboard, like, you know, you type something, you want to write a letter, you want to type in a website address, you use the keyboard. And the mouse, I like to kind of think the mouse is sort of like the steering wheel of your computer. When you use the mouse, with your hand, as you move it, which is just a piece of hardware, it moves your cursor or an arrow on the screen to allow you to control it. So that just kind of guides where you go in terms of, you know, selecting things, if you want to go to another website, or highlighting words if you're writing a letter.
Well, I want you to go back just a sec. You use the word hardware. Tell people what mm-hmm. hardware is, because unless you're going to the hardware store. Why is a mouse
Yeah, right, okay,
hardware?
good. So hardware, if you think about the word hardware, the first part of hardware is something that's hard. So anything within the computer that you can basically touch, like the monitor, you know, for seeing what's on your computer, the tower that Angela referred to where you turn the computer on and off, anything that you can sort of knock on and hear something, that's going to be hardware. As opposed to software, which is something we call digital, right? You don't really see it, okay? It's actually something that's inside of the computer. It's not something that you can sort of knock on and, you know, put it in your pocket or something like that.
What's relatable for what software would be for somebody who's only used a typewriter in their lifetime?
I like to think software is, let's say you have cable TV, right? We've all had cable TV. And we think about... when you turn on the TV, you have a channel for cooking, you have a channel for comedy, you have a channel for cartoons, you have a channel for game shows, things like that. So each of those individual channels or networks, they have their own purpose, right? So software would be something similar to that, where they each have their own purpose. You have a purpose for writing letters. You have a purpose for going onto the internet. You have a purpose for looking at your photographs. Things like that. So each have their own sort of objective, each bit of software. Another word for software you might hear is also application. So you might hear software, application, and program. So they're all three of them pretty much mean the same exact thing. They're all synonymous with each other.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. A laptop is basically your tower, your keyboard, and your mouse all in one device and the monitor, so that it makes it more portable.
Okay. So it's a computer I can take with me.
Right.
Rather than taking my TV around with me, I've got like a baby computer, if you will.
Right. So if you travel to visit your family and you want to be able to bring your computer with you, you have the opportunity to do that. Some of the drawbacks of a laptop for seniors, I think, is that the touchpad is difficult to use.
Okay.
Which is, the touchpad would be used instead of a mouse. And then the keyboard sometimes is a little awkward. But the good thing is with a laptop is you can actually buy the keyboard and the mouse separately, so you can have the functionality of a separate keyboard.
I made my daughter get me...
Yeah,
what they call a mouse to move around rather than using my little touch.
Yeah, the touchpad I find very
initially
very
it
awkward.
Was hard. Now I can't believe why I had her get it because I don't need it. But initially I did. It was like my little crutch. So that's a laptop or a desktop. You're saying that a laptop wouldn't be your suggestion for older adults because it's a tiny bit trickier. Dave, what's your experience with that? Do you feel the same way?
I think it depends on what your use is going to be for it. Because ability to travel with a laptop.
Okay.
And you have the option for connecting a larger monitor. Like, cause you have the option of treating the laptop like you would just the tower, where you can add those peripherals that Angela was referring to earlier, where you can add on an extra keyboard, you can add on a monitor, bigger monitor, because it might be small, you can add on a mouse, things like that. And a lot of the older adults I work with are living in retirement communities, that the space that they were living in prior to that was much larger.
Yes.
And now maybe they're living in a smaller environment. So a laptop takes up less space, so they do prefer a laptop, and then they have the option for getting a bigger monitor if they want to do that, or they can customize the computer to be able to make things bigger if the monitor itself isn't large enough on the laptop itself.
And what about how much it costs with a desktop versus a laptop computer?
Well, you can pretty much get a better price on a desktop as far as the components within the desktop. Laptops tend to run a little bit more expensive, but nowadays, with the prices going down so much, you can really find a very adequate laptop for a very, very reasonable price.
Which would be what?
I think you could get, for like internet and email, you know, your basic functions, you could probably get one for around $400.
Wonderful. Listen, we're going to break. You're listening to Call Kira About Aging. If you have a question, give us a call in the studio today at 707-636-1350. We'll be right back.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Comes the sun. Comes the sun.
And we're back. You're listening to Call Kira About Aging. I have neglected to give out my guest's phone number because I want you to be able to reach either of them if you are interested in one-on-one lessons or group lessons. Angela, please give out your contact info.
My personal telephone number is 415-258-1797. You are welcome to call me and make an appointment either at the senior center or a private appointment. I can also be reached at angela.smidt, that's S-M-I-D-T, at gmail.com, if you'd like to send me an email.
Wonderful. And Dave Casuto's on the line with us from Senior Surf. Why don't you give out your contact info, too, please?
Sure. The name is David Casuto, C-A-S-U-T-O, and phone number is 415-509-3725. You can email me at dave@senior-surf.org, that is. You can also check out the website, which is at www.senior-surf.org. And we do group classes as well as private one-on-one. Come to you, or you can come to us. And we cover any topic you'd like.
And I liked it. Your mission was really to try and serve people in communities as well as low income.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
All over the Bay Area. So if you're listening anywhere in the Bay Area and you want to learn, these are two options. We were just before we went to break talking about different types of actual computers that someone can buy to begin using to stay in touch. And Dave, I wanted you to mention tablets because we've talked about a desktop computer and a laptop computer. Talk about a tablet, please.
Certainly. Tablets are really one of the things that have taken the technology world by storm on the last couple of years. With the introduction of the iPad made by Apple, and there's a few other ones out there as well. But I'll just talk about what a tablet is. It would be an alternative to a computer or to a laptop. And a tablet is more lightweight, and it's just one unit itself. So everything is actually done on the screen. There's not a mouse as a peripheral or a keyboard. Everything is actually done on the screen. And with a tablet, you basically just touch the screen. If you want to select something, if you want to move up and down a page, you just drag your finger across the screen. And it's really great for people with motor skills issues. You can also make things larger just by what we call pinching the screen. So if you make sort of like a reverse pinch with your fingers going out, the screen actually will enlarge and get zoomed in. So it's a really great tool for older adults. The most popular one that's out there is an iPad, and there's also Android versions. Amazon just came out with the Kindle Fire. Motorola makes them. Samsung makes them, and they're really great. I mean, you can do email from them. You can do we haven't talked about Skype yet.
You
can do types like video communication with people. I mean, you can do most things you can do on a computer, but with some limitation. And they run anywhere from about the Amazon Kindle Fire is like $200, and then the iPad goes up to, I think, maybe about $700-$800.
So again, this is almost like I have a, like if I'm holding a tablet of paper. My dad loves to use big tablets of paper, you know, yellow lined. So it's like a computer that's like that, that you can cart around, that's even smaller than a laptop, right, Angela?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, and I think it's really great. Steve Jobs suggested that maybe the iPads are turning out to be easier for older adults to use. You were just saying that, right?
Yes, certainly, definitely, for sure, just because of all those factors. It's just you just touch and go.
Let's talk a little bit about if you don't type for some reason, either you don't know how to use a keyboard. Angela, what can people do if they actually don't like to type or don't know how to type or can't type?
There's voice recognition available in the Windows operating system. It has voice recognition built in. That's pretty good. I've used it myself.
So explain how that works.
You need a microphone.
Okay.
And basically, it comes with the operating system. So you start up the program, and what it'll do, it will have you speak into it so that you teach the program to pick up your own enunciation.
Okay.
And the more you speak into it and basically train the program, the more accurate the functions are. But what is really nice about it is you can talk talk a letter, you could talk your memoirs, but what is also really nice about it is you can actually do verbal commands for your computer. So you can say open program or open email. You can say click. So you can actually have a communication with your computer if using the peripherals is too difficult.
Can I say underline and bold?
You can say underline. You can say bold. Anything that you can do with your keyboard or your mouse, you can do with your voice.
So you guys, if you're thinking about a typewriter in the old days and you typed out your little letter, you'd have to go back several spaces and then underline what you wanted, right? Now she's saying, this is how far we've come, that you can say underline the word reservation, and the computer knows to just underline the word you said. I mean, it's mind-blowing, but it's easier than typing it and going back and underlining it, right? Do you have any thing to add about voice recognition computers, Dave? Or software?
Yeah, in addition to what Angela was referring to, the built-in, there's a third-party software called Dragon, Dragon Naturally Speaking, that's very popular, that basically does everything that she was referring to. It does the same thing. I think it's a little bit more sophisticated.
Yeah, it is.
Because you know, you're paying for it, so it has a few more different commands built into it. It works specifically with certain programs, like email programs, and you can really customize it. You can add on certain programs that might not be included in the one that comes with the operating system.
Well,
and if you have a tablet, or we haven't spoken about smartphones yet, but Dragon actually makes a free, what we call an app, or short for application, that you can get for your iPad or your tablet or your phone, where you can actually speak your emails right into it, and that's actually free.
And we are going to cover that the last month in December. Next week is email. The week after that, we're talking about internet. The week after that, social media. And then the last week, we're really talking a lot about Mac products. So I'm trying to focus today on the simple bare necessities of the computer. Mm-hmm. You can call us if you have a question for our guests, Angela Schmidt, who is an instructor of computers, or Dave, who is with Senior Surf, at 707-636-1350.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
And we're back. You're listening to Call Kira About Aging. We're talking about computer basics. I'm in with two people who teach older adults how to use the computer all the time. I'm sure they teach younger adults too. We're talking about the absolute beginnings. What's a computer? Desktop, laptop, tablet, which is the iPad. And I was thinking about the first time I saw a cursor, which is that blinking light on a blank piece of paper, which is so different than when I was in typing school and you put the little paper in and, you know, obviously you knew where your first letter was going to hit. But this cursor blinks and tells you. But what if you have, once you start typing, trouble seeing the letters because the font is so small? What do you do if you have poor vision? Dave?
Well, there's a number of different things that you can do. On a Windows computer, there's a many, many customization tools. It's in the section called accessibility for, you know, access for people who have visual impairment. So there's a number of different things you can do. There's actually screen readers that are built in.
Mm-hmm.
So it will literally, if you're on a website or if you're reading a document, it will literally read the screen back to you. In sort of a robotic voice, you can hear what's on actually on the screen. You can also customize it where you can change the resolution, okay, which means that you're changing the size of how things look on the computer screen. So you can make things bigger. Everything will be bigger. The buttons that you click on to go to a website or something like that, the words themselves will be bigger. Everything will just be more pronounced for you. There's a few other things you can do as well. Talking about what were we talking about before? What Angela brought up, just in terms of
the keyboard shortcuts.
With the keyboard shortcuts, right? Things like that, right? So with keyboards, there's actually something that I've been using with my students is I've been getting keyboard decals because sometimes the keyboards themselves are not the easiest to see. You find that a lot of keyboards these days are actually black with white on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of studies out there that show that is very, very hard to see if you have a visual impairment. So you can buy these keyboard decals that are bright yellow with white or black on top of it, and the letters are probably about four times bigger than they are on the actual stock keyboard that you buy. And that's very, very helpful because of the brightness and also because of the size.
Well, I want to encourage people to speak with their older adults in their life, encourage them to go to a class. Angela, if they want to reach you for one-on-one tutoring in North Bay, where do they call?
You can call 415-258-1797, or you can reach me by email, which is angela.smit, S-M-I-D-T, at gmail.com. You can also call the Roanoke Park Senior Center.
Yeah, I have that number here. It's 585-6780.
And they have a computer lab that has probably about 8 computers in it that anybody is welcome to use between the hours of 9 and 12, Monday through Friday.
Easy, yeah, a lot of senior centers.
Yeah, and there's somebody usually there that will help you. I'll be there. I'm there on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Nice. And Dave, if they want to reach you?
You can reach me at 415-509-3725. And email is dave@senior-surf.org. And our website is senior-surf.org. And I also wanted to mention, we also, part of what we do at Senior Surf is provide mobile computer classes. So we actually have a fleet of computers available, so we can set them up at either a community center or a retirement center, or if you're an independent individual and you don't have a computer and you're just thinking about it, we do have extra computers for you to just kind of take it for a test run.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you, Angela. Thank you, David. You're listening to Call Care About Aging next week. What do you do if you're asked if you have an email address? We're going to talk about the basics of email. Hope you'll tune in then.
Doing the garden, digging the weeds. Who could ask for more? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Every summer we can rent a cottage in the